Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. In today's podcast, I'm going to talk to you all about productivity and morning routines. The first half of this podcast is going to be setting up why my morning routine is different than everyone else's. So hopefully you just listened to the podcast right before this that I recorded 2 years ago that talked about my morning and evening routines at that time. In that podcast, I talk about decision fatigue and setting up routines. And when you set up routines, you start to do things on autopilot so you don't have to make any more decisions. So this podcast is going to build on that one. Now, I am a productivity nut. If there is a way to save 5 seconds a day, I'm going to figure out how to save that 5 seconds a day. Not necessarily because I'm going to use that 5 seconds for good, but I just like to know that I saved it. Wasting time is one of my biggest pet peeves. I do not want to just be sitting idly doing nothing. So I study all the productivity gurus, and for the most part, they are men. The majority of productivity podcasts and books and things I've learned from are men, and I did not realize that I was learning so much from men until recently. And so now I have sought out more women experts because I'm a woman. And I find that a lot of the reasons why I am not, well, I'm really productive. But the reason why I feel like I'm not productive is because I am comparing myself to a man's productivity. And there are just differences in a man's productive schedule and a woman's productive schedule. There's also a difference between a Gen X, I'm Gen X, I'm 45 years old, my daily schedule, and a 32-year-old single millennial male's productivity schedule, or if they're married. Adding kids into the mix, I mean, you might as well just crumple up the productivity, open up the window, and throw it out. Oh, that was fun. Maybe I could be productive again when I'm 70. Talk to 70-year-olds. They don't feel productive either. I want to talk about how we as women are constantly trying to seek some kind of a balance. We want to balance our work and our home life. We want to balance how much time we spend with each of our kids. We want to balance all of these things. But there really is no such thing as balance. And actually, balance is boring. Like if everything's done evenly, and there's no passion or something that gets more of you, then that's kind of boring. I wish I could remember who I heard say this, but it was a speaker years ago, maybe 10 years ago, talked about how to just throw this whole idea of balance out. And as women especially, we're making cookies. And when we make cookies, you can make whatever kind of cookie you want. Chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, monster cookies, whatever kind of cookie you want to make. And in all of our cookies, we have to have some flour and some sugar. Some of you are using gluten-free flour. Some of you are using egg replacer instead of eggs. Yes, I know how to make cookies that are gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, soy-free, nut-free. You don't even want to know. I used to make sugar cookies. My kids still say those were the best sugar cookies when they were on that special allergy diet that we were doing. So we're all making our own kind of cookies. Allergy-free cookies, extra chocolatey cookies. I get a migraine from one chocolate cookie, so I'm going to be making like an oatmeal raisin. I like an oatmeal raisin cookie. You might use free-range whole oats that are gluten-free, which I don't think you can have gluten-free oats from what I've read, but you know what I mean. We're making cookies. We have flour in there. Flour is going to be your biggest ingredient, whatever kind of flour you're using. Your biggest ingredient is going to be your work, your passion, maybe your house. We're all going to have a little sweetener in there, a sugar, a stevia, a honey, a something. That's the thing you like to do just for you. We're all going to have all of these different ingredients, and you have different amounts of them. Can you imagine if you made cookies and you had equal amounts of each kind of ingredient? Ooh, gross. We do not want those kind of cookies. So first of all, I want to talk about that. You're making your own cookie over there. I don't know what kind of cookie you're making. Maybe that's what we should put in the Facebook group this week. What our favorite kind of cookie is and what kind of cookie we're making our life into. That would be fun. And I find that I so want to succeed and do well and hit the checkbox and somebody to say, you're doing a good job and get credit. I always want to get credit for everything. that I try to find out what is the perfect formula, the perfect morning routine for a direct seller, for a future millionaire, for a productive mom. Like, what is the perfect morning routine? And I'm following all these men. And so commonly, this is what a good morning routine will be like when you read these ultra super superdy duperdy morning routine things. And first of all, you have to wake up early and you have to take a cold shower because it actually does kill off your mitochondria and help prevent cancer if you take a cold shower. I mean, I know the science behind it. I've never once done it, and I probably will die with never once turning my water all the way to cold to shock my system. Are you kidding me? I take a hot bath every night. I am not taking a cold shower. So they're waking up early, like, try 4 a.m. And if that's not good enough for you, try 4:30. But the latest would be 5:30. So they want you to get up early. Then they want you to shock your system with this cold shower. Then they want you to drink immediately a glass of lukewarm water with lemon in it, plus whatever. Then we're going to meditate and we're going to, oh my gosh. And then exercise. Then we're supposed to immediately start exercising. So you should just know I try all of this stuff because I want to be the good girl. I want to get the A. Like, if there's something better to do, I should be doing it. So at one point, this is hilarious, I went out and bought the workout equipment and I joined the gym with the personal trainer. And I got up and I was at the gym at 6 a.m. Now, if you listen to the podcast number 165, where I ask if you're a lion, a wolf, a bear, or a dolphin, it's a book review of the book, The Power of When. I thought I was a lion, which is a morning person, and I took the test. I was a bear. And if you listen to that podcast, I'm justifying why I'm really a lion and not a bear. And you know what I've learned? I'm a bear. I'm a morning-prone bear, but I'm a bear. So here I am at 6 a.m., apparently not a lion, at the gym, something I don't do. And the women in my family pretty much are not athletic, not exceptionally athletic. On my mother's side. On my father's side, they are amazing athletes. But on my mother's side, we like to exercise our brain. So I'm at the gym, cute workout clothes, by the way, and I'm with a personal trainer. This is hysterical. This could be a little rabbit trail of a story. So he's telling me, you have to take a medicine ball and you have to like lift it up, bring it back to your chest, push it out, bring it back in. My brain would not comprehend what he was telling me to do. Then I was supposed to like squat or something. And I literally could not do whatever simple exercise it is he was doing. I was like, let me see you do it again. All right, let me try to do it again. You do it again? Me do it again. I couldn't do it. It was, for those of you that exercise, you are peeing your pants laughing right now. If you want to see something really funny, try to get me to do any kind of exercise whatsoever. My brain, like those cells don't talk to each other. It just doesn't happen. So then I go out and I go to do the weights, which, you know, it's like 10 pounds or something. And I'm supposed to do this circuit of weights. And I'm going to pass out. Like, I feel so sick. I'm going to pass out. I'm laying on the floor so that I don't black out, basically. I was like, all right, maybe I'm supposed to eat first. So the next time I wait a couple days, I eat, I go do the same thing. I'm laying on the floor. I'm about to pass out. The third time I'm like, I'm killing myself. I knew this exercise thing was a bad idea. I'm killing myself. Come to find out in that book, The Power of When, there is an ideal time for you to exercise for if you're a lion, a bear, a wolf, and mine is not the morning. I'm not supposed to exercise in the morning. Well, duh. I was about killing myself. I didn't go back. My exercises now, I walk the dog a couple of times a week. I'm just not an exercise person, but I could tell you one thing. If I am going to exercise, it is not going to be the second that my feet hit the ground. I'm not going into some full out exercising type thing. There's another, I wish I could give you the podcast. I think it was Shailene Johnson. I can't remember, but they were talking about these three body types. And I am the body type that could work out forever and I will never get a muscle, whatever body type that is. Then there's like the Halle Berry body type, which I think my daughter has. And that's like they can look at a weight and a muscle pops out on their body. Like if my daughter works out, you could tell the next day. It's amazing. Amazing. I don't have those muscles. My muscles didn't get that. So this morning routine, I'm supposed to take a cold shower. Don't want to do that. I'm supposed to exercise. I might pass out. That's not good for me. Then I'm supposed to sit and meditate. I have so much creative energy in the morning. If I sit and clear my mind for meditation, like I'll just be honest, I haven't even tried it because I don't even have a desire. I like the idea of meditating in the afternoon, I think would be the best time for me. I want you to notice something. When you're listening to people's morning routines, optimal routines, the best way to start your day, When was the last time you heard one of these podcasts, books, audiobooks, whatever, where they said, then go throw in a laundry, wake up your child for school, and make sure you get their breakfast ready? Never, right? Like, never. I've never, ever, even if it's a woman, heard them say, and then I go wake up my child, and then I do this. Women and men are waking up at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning in order to gain this alone time that they can have to do these things like working out and cold showers and meditation. And if that works for you, that is great. I'm super excited for you. I'm no longer even jealous. I don't even have a desire to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning unless the house is on fire, and I don't want my house to be on fire, so I never have a desire. Actually, if I was getting on an airplane to go somewhere, that would be the one reason I'd want to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I think that 90% of us, I have not done a poll, but I'm going to say 90% of people on this podcast are not getting up at 5 a.m. to take a cold shower, meditate, and work out. They're just not going to. So my morning routine that I'm going to talk to you about, you should always know who you're listening to when you're listening to their productivity and their morning routine. I have two teenage kids. They are 16 and 17 year old. I work full time, but I work from home. So I have flexibility in when I work and how I work. I am married, I have a dog, and my house is 2,400 square feet. So it's the actual average American home. That, if you, according to statistics, I live in the typical average American home. I live in a suburb. I do not live in a city. My kids attend private school with no busing, so I have to drive them at least 2 hours a day. That is who you're listening to. That's who I am. I'm 45 years old, and I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. I feel like I should be like in some anonymous group right now. The modern woman, her productivity routines are going to cover seven different items. Not everyone will have all seven, but these are the seven items that I'm going to say that most of us are covering. Number one, our household. Everybody lives in some kind of a dwelling. Number two, cleaning. You got to get that house clean somehow. Number four, shopping. Nothing's getting into this house on its own. You're going to have to actually order it, have it shipped, or go pick it up. Number three, some kind of work. And by work, I mean whatever you do for the majority of your day that is your passion. If you have little kids and you're home and your passion is raising those kids on your own without daycare, that's your work. If you homeschool, that's your work. If you volunteer full time, you run the PTA, you run the junior league, that's your work. If you work full-time outside of the home, that's your work. If you work from home, part-time or full-time like I do, or in direct sales, that's your work. So whatever is your bulk of your day, focus, and goal orientation, that is your work. Then number five is yourself, taking care of yourself. And then optional would be six, having a spouse, and seven, having kids. I know there are people that don't have kids and don't have a spouse that listen to this podcast. I personally chose to opt out of number two. I don't do cleaning. I have a housekeeper. So you're probably not going to be doing all of the things on this list, but you're going to be doing a lot of these things. So now that we know who you are, what phase of life you're in, when you like to wake up based on the power of when, what your expectations are for yourself, for your work, whatever you determine your work to be, now is the time where we're going to create our best morning routine, afternoon routine, and evening routine. In this podcast, I'm only going to be talking about the morning routine. I'll talk about the afternoon and evening because they kind of blend together for me. So the morning routine for me is from when you wake up until you start the productive part of your work day. So for me, that's anywhere from 5:45 to 6 in the morning until about 9 or 10. So we're looking at about a 3 to 4 hour block of time. I have children that I have to get places, so that is part of my morning routine. I wake up with enough time to get myself ready and get in the car to drive my kids to school. So I get up about 6 and we leave about 6:40, somewhere around then. I no longer put anything additional in my morning hours. I might start a load of laundry. I might empty the dishwasher, but I'm not doing the dishes. I'm not packing lunches. I am getting my kids' medicines ready for the day. I'm not waking kids up anymore. They get up on their own. So I am really only in charge of myself. And that 30 to 40 minutes is just what I need to get up, shower, get dressed fully, get my makeup on, make my coffee, and be in the car for the kids to go to school. I have created that morning routine, which I talked about in the last podcast, to the point where I don't have to think about it. The only time I have to think about it is if I'm interrupted and don't remember where I am in my routine. Some of the best ways to get that 30 minutes where you get yourself ready, normalized or habitualized, is to create little mini routines within that regular routine. So when I get up, I go to the bathroom, I brush my teeth, I get in the shower. That's all one fell swoop. I do all of that all at one time. Then when I get out of the shower, I go in the closet and I get dressed. And we're going to talk about in the evening routine how I pick out my clothes the night before. So I'm not picking out my clothes that morning, usually. I get dressed. That's step two. Step three for me is everything that happens at the bathroom counter. So I dry my hair, I put on my makeup, I put on my jewelry. And everything that I need to do my hair is in a bucket in my linen closet. And I pull that bucket out and I dump it upside down in the sink in front of me because I don't use that sink. We don't run water in that sink. I plug in the curling iron. I plug in the hair dryer. I put the mousse in my hair. I brush my hair with one brush, put that away. Then I dry my hair with a curling brush, put the hair dryer, put that brush away. Then I curl my hair with my flat iron, unplug that. That's doing hair. That's all in one bucket. Comes out. I do everything in the bucket. By the time I'm done, everything's back in the bucket. Then I pull out my makeup organizer. And in my makeup organizer, I have everything I need to do my lips, my foundation, my blush, my eyes, my eyeshadow, and my pick to pick out my hair. I do everything that's in that little caddy. I put that back in the linen closet. I put on deodorant. I put on my jewelry, and I'm done. And I have a little ceramic bowl that my daughter painted for me that I keep my daily jewelry in. And so I just fish through there whatever earrings I want to put on, my bracelet, my necklace, and my watch, and I'm ready to go. So within my routine, I get up, shower, brush my teeth, I go in the closet, I get dressed, and then I come out and I do three activities when I'm standing at the sink. Because each of those activities have little containers, I never forget to do anything. So when I pull out my little makeup organizer, as I go to put it back in the linen closet, I scan through that to make sure, oh yeah, I didn't put the mascara on. When I do my hair, I dump it all in the sink. And when I'm done, it's all back in the closet. So I, you know, dried it, straightened it, hairsprayed it. It's all back in one container. So containers really help you get through that part of your daily routine. Next, when I go downstairs, I eat the same breakfast every day. I already talked about that in the other podcast. My food is very normalized. And what I've found recently is as I've gotten older, I can't handle as much sugar as I used to be able to handle. And so I have my breakfast bar and my coffee. Then I have cereal around 10 or 11. And I'm really trying to push my lunch off to 1 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, I have a spinach salad with 2 hard-boiled eggs and a little bit of vinaigrette dressing. When I do that, I don't get the afternoon slump that I used to get from drinking Coke and eating pizzas and all that food that I used to eat. And the older I get, the less I'm able to cheat on that kind of diet and still have my brain functioning. So if I want to have those junky kind of foods, I have them in the afternoon and evening. And really, I'm just trying to eliminate them altogether because my body is not able to recover as fast as it was before I was in my mid-40s. And then I drive the kids to school. Now my kids, yay, this year are getting up on their own and getting ready. And I actually just go sit in the car and I'm sitting in the passenger seat right now checking Facebook early in the morning because my son is driving to school. Now for years, you've been hearing about how I drive my kids 25 hours a week and it's so much time and I can't believe I spend that much time in the car, yada, yada, yada. Well, as Joey is learning to drive and soon Abby will be also, I'm realizing that these 25 hours a week that I've been losing, I will not need to be driving anymore. And actually, I'm going to be having a lot more free time and home a lot more as the kids learn to drive themselves. I've got a couple years left to go, but I can already see on the horizon a lot less driving that I'm going to be doing. And what I realized was when I listened to a lot of these productivity experts about how to have the best morning and don't check your email first thing and jump right into your biggest, hardest task and your most creative task, I have tried to eliminate everything in my morning in order to do what they're saying. And what I found is it's not going to work for me. I am a super creative, productive person. I do a lot of writing, podcasting, all of that kind of thing. but I don't do it the first thing I wake up in the morning, even though my brain has a million ideas in the morning and I do consider myself a morning person. What I find is I need the morning time to think and noodle and toss around different ideas. These podcasts, when I sit down to record them, come out fairly easily, but it's because I've been thinking about this podcast for about 5 days. How do I want to tell you about my morning routine? What's different about my morning routine than other morning routines? What would be unique to a woman's morning routine than a man's morning routine? What about if you work at home? What if you don't work at home? How do we make the women who are at home homeschooling and raising their children, which, hello, is the most important job in the world, feel as validated as people who go off to work and earn a paycheck for the work that they do? They have a concrete, immediate reward from going to work, whereas spending all day with kids at home, teaching them, guiding them, growing them, the payoff is 20 years down the road. I mean, it's a totally different payoff, but it's the same amount of work. And if you work and your kids go to daycare, it doesn't mean you love your kids less. Like, we don't need to get in that discussion. That's craziness. So how do we work that into the discussion? So as I'm thinking about this hour a day that I drive my kids to school that I have forever been trying to get rid of, I realize that that hour a day is a huge benefit to me because I think so much during that time. I listen to podcasts, I think about my day, and then when I get down to actually working, I'm much more productive because I've done so much of the mental energy in advance. I get home from dropping off my kids around 8 o'clock, and I really don't have the expectation that I will be doing work, like productive work, until 9, sometimes 10 o'clock. So from 8 to 9, what then do I do? Well, sometimes I do dishes. Sometimes I take 10 or 15 minutes and I walk around the house, pick stuff up, start laundry. I let the dog out. I give the dog a bone. I rub him down real good because he loves to be loved on in the morning. But Shiba Inus are like cats. Like, they don't really like a lot of affection, but in the morning he likes a lot of affection. So I work that into my day. And then I check email. And you should know, Hunter is so barky today. I am so sorry. You should know that first thing in the morning, when my alarm goes off at 6 a.m., I reach for my phone and I check my email immediately. And now that I'm 45, that means I need reading glasses in order to do that. So I'm fumbling around trying to find my reading glasses and looking and see what emails came in overnight. I know, it's crazy. And people say that you should not be checking your email first thing in the morning. But I am telling you, I do. I do check my email first thing in the morning, and I do check my email first thing when I get home from work, from dropping the kids off, and I come up into my office to work, which is in my bedroom. I do check my email, and I check my email all day long. And I've asked my husband, who is ridiculously productive. I mean, Greg is such a productive worker. I have been asking him, I'm like, do you check your email first thing? And how often do you check your email? Like, how soon does an email come into your inbox that you check it? And he goes, all the time. Like, I check my email all the time. And I was like, okay, good, because I do too. So sometimes I'll have a couple of hours where I shut off the email and I work on a productive task and I don't check email, but for the most part, I check email all the time. And productivity experts would say what I am doing is wrong. I should not be checking my email that often. And I understand that point. I agree that it does derail me from what my focus is. Like, let's say I'm going to write a blog post and I check an email. I am going to lose time getting back into that post. So when I am going to record a podcast or write a blog post or write an article, I will close my email down for up to 40 minutes to an hour. But I don't really turn my email off for longer than that because guess what, people? I'm in business. I mean, if Pat needs me and she wants an answer to a question, I want to give her that answer as fast as humanly possible. When Greg reaches out to me by email, like, he's not just like emailing me for no good reason. Like, he wants an answer. And in business, I want to reply to people. I don't reply to every email as it comes in, but I do monitor emails as they come in. And you'll see at the end of the day when we go through my afternoon routine, how I go through more email. But throughout the day, if an email comes in from Pat or Greg or a few other key people, I'm going to reply right away. And in the last podcast, I talked to you about how I love to be quoted in magazines or in newspapers. And if you want to be a resource for a reporter, you really need to be able to get back to them within 30 minutes to 2 hours of their request, letting them know that you are available as a resource. And you need to have everything they need to them within usually 12 to 24 hours, just because that's how fast news moves. And I want to be a resource to them. So I do check my email. There's also a bunch of other things I do before 9 a.m. I read my favorite blog. I go check both of my bank accounts and any other stats or lingering projects that I need to do from the day before. It's generally easing my way into my workday. I don't sit down and start with my hardest task. I have about 30 minutes to an hour of easing my way in, taking a temperature on everything that's out there. I usually do check my social media, especially since Joey's driving. I'm able to check social media in the morning. If I have a busy day, then I won't. Like, I won't even log on to Facebook or Instagram at all in the morning. Okay, so if you're keeping track of what we're doing, number one, we've habitualized our regular daily morning getting ready routine. And number two, you've determined your best work times of when you want to do your household tasks and your work and how much time you need to really ease your way into your workday, or if you're the kind of person that can just hit that creativity first thing. Now, step three in creating a morning routine is to create a flex day. I know, really weird. You've probably never heard of this before. This is specific for a woman. I don't know if it's necessarily as important for a man, but for a woman, having this flex day is super, super important for me. Mine is Tuesday all day and half of Friday. And my flex day is a day where I don't have any content demands on me for my work. So I work Monday through Friday, but my work is flexible, and it has to be flexible because I am a mom. And so there are a lot of things that have to be done that are out of my control, like school meetings, doctor's appointments, running errands for kids. They have extra activities that they do on a Tuesday. Greg usually has dinner with his mom on Tuesday. So I have all Tuesday where I primarily am in my car most of that day. Tuesday is the day I return any phone calls. I do any coaching calls that I have set up. I set up all doctor's appointments possible on Tuesdays. I get my nails done on Tuesdays. I run errands on Tuesdays. I record all podcast interviews possible on Tuesdays. Not my pod. It's a different kind of focus I need to record my own podcast than it is to be interviewed on a podcast. Tuesday and Friday afternoons are also the 2 days where I try to get my email inbox down to zero. So I'm not doing any heavy, concentrated working on those days, but I am spending more time on my email, replying to things that maybe have gotten in my email a couple of days because they needed a longer response, or I needed to do some additional work before I could respond to those, and any short tasks that take 10 to 30 minutes. Like if there's a bunch of little tasks that have gotten on my to-do list, those will be done on a Tuesday and a Friday afternoon. Now, step four, I want you to create a focus for each day. I just told you about my flex day, or errand day, as I like to call it. So each day of the week has a different focus for me. Mondays and Thursdays are my heavy creation days. Those are the ones where I'm going to work on a program like the 100-day home organization program. That's when I would have created that, or written the ADHD book, or created the planner that I just created. Those would have happened on a Monday and Thursday. I start at 8 a.m. I usually check my email, and I'm usually working by 8:15 on those days, and I work all the way until 5. So those are long work days for me. Tuesdays, I don't have any expectation that work is going to get done. Any work that gets done on Tuesday is a bonus. I just do all my errands, my calls, running around, and general mom type duties. Wednesdays and Fridays are half for creation and half for flex time. So I try to do about 3 hours of heavy work on those days and about 3 hours of lighter work on those days. Or if I need another day to schedule an event, I do those on those days. Then Saturdays and Sundays are household and family days. Now, that's my focus. That doesn't mean that I don't do any work on the weekend or I don't do any household tasks on Mondays and Wednesdays. That's not true. But if I am standing around thinking, what do I need to do next? I first think of, what is my goal for today? And I do this more on the weekends than during the week. So on Saturdays or Sundays where I have a lull in my day and I start thinking, what am I going to do next? My natural inclination is to do a work task. But I'm training myself that on a Saturday and Sunday to say, no, it's the weekend. What other household or family related tasks need to be done? I may be putting them off, like checking someone's homework or doing another load of laundry or changing out a light bulb or whatever. And so that reminds me, like, nope, check the household to-do list first before you rabbit trail down to just checking your email and 3 hours later you're still working. So that is my step four, is to create a focus for each day. That's my morning routine. Totally different than anybody else's morning routine. And in case you're wondering why it's so crazy around here, I'm trying to record this podcast on a Sunday. And Sunday is what day? Yes, it's a family day. And Greg is not home. So our whole family schedule is totally off kilter, but I need to get this podcast recorded. So Hunter is barking at my daughter and I'm running around the house trying to find a quiet place to record this podcast. There's no perfect. Perfect. For so long, I have wasted so much time and so much energy trying to find the perfect morning routine, the perfect amount of productivity. For what? What am I going to do with this time once I have it? I'm just going to work more, right? So there is no perfect. What I would love for you to do this week is to really look at your own morning routine. Think about, are you a morning person or not? Do you like to dive right into your creative work or no? Is exercise something that really helps you in the morning and it sets your whole day up for success? Then by all means, that should be the number one thing on your to-do list in the morning. And if that means you need to get up early to do it, then do it. But if it's not, then stop beating yourself up over it like I was when it's not anything. I get nothing out of exercise. I don't know what endorphins you guys are getting. I don't get them. I just don't get them from exercise. I get that from listening to a podcast. Like if I can listen to 3 podcasts, my heart is like beating and I have so much energy in my body to attack my day and attack my work. That would be like running a marathon for some people. The energy that I get from listening to podcasts in the morning and feeding my brain with learning and connection and passion, that's what fuels me. So what fuels you and how long does it take? Maybe you work at a full-time job and you drive into the job. You cannot literally hit your desk at 8 o'clock and by 8:01 be in your top productive working time. All right, I'm going to rabbit trail just for 1 second on Greg's job. So Greg does have a typical desk job. He's there from 8 to 5. He's had the same job for, I don't know, 25 years or something. He's really good at what he does. He's a great support inside sales guy, and he supports his outside guy like Pat supports me. Like he just, I mean, his outside guy doesn't even have to say it, and Greg's doing it because they are so connected. He works nonstop, and I've really been asking him a lot about his day because I own my own business. So I could turn my email off and concentrate on whatever I want to do, record a podcast, turn it back on again. I mean, I'm the boss. What are you going to say? I can't do that. I said, how do you get these big, huge technical quotes that you have to do all the time done if your email's constantly going off and your phone is ringing? And he just does. And I'm like, well, can't you just like not take calls for 20 minutes so you can get this productive work done? And he looks at me, he goes, no, like, no. And I've talked to other people who work at corporations and they talk to me about how do we get more productivity in our business. I'm like, well, can we have an hour where we don't reply to IM or messaging? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, that's really a bummer because that's killing your productivity. So I recognize that I am very, very blessed in my business. Number one, I love my job and 70% of people don't love their job. So I realize I love my job and my job is you. I really, really like it. And number two, I have the flexibility to be able to turn off all of the distractions and really hunker down on my focus time. If that's not you, if you're working full-time outside of the house and you don't have any time for you and you have to wake up from 4 to 5:30 a.m. so you can get your workout in, so you can read a book, so you can listen to a podcast, so you can do something for you, by all means do it. But if that's not you and you do have some flexibility in your day, which a lot of you do, then I want to really encourage you to look at your morning routine and figure out how you work best. If checking email first thing in the morning, like I do, works for you, do it. There's no right or wrong here. So look at your morning routine this week. What can you tweak? I am not tweaking anything in my morning routine except for the expectation of I no longer mind the 1 hour drive. And I actually think it's going to be a real big adjustment when I'm not doing it. And I don't have that 1 hour of thinking and podcast listening time. I'm not really sure how that's going to impact the rest of my workday. So set out your agenda. Streamline as much as possible that getting ready. Maybe you like the idea of having a little makeup caddy. Create a flexible day. What is your flexible day? What is the day where you're going to schedule the doctor's appointments, return the phone calls, run the errands? What is that day, that flexible day? And then think about a focus for each of your days. I know when my kids were little and I stayed home with them and I did direct sales, I had a focus for each of our days. You know, Tuesday, Thursday is preschool day and Wednesday was music day and Friday was the day I always tried to go out to breakfast with someone and we would have like a play date on that day. And I would have different focuses on those days. So create those focus days. And then when you are at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you don't know what to do, you could think about, oh, my focus for today is, oh, Thursday is the day that I organize my house. So I get caught up on my home organization program on Thursday or whatever it is. All right, take some time. Think about this and work on your morning routine. And next week, I'm going to talk about what I think is even more important than our morning routine, which is our afternoon and our evening routines. Have a great week.